Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Sanhedrin Daf Samach, Sanhedrin 60. Back in the Mishnah on Nun Vav Lamed Aleph, the Mishnah was discussing one who Rachmana Litzlan cursed Hashem and the procedure for judging such a person and punishing them. So we're told that the court would send out everybody else aside from the witnesses, and the court would say to the witnesses, say what you heard, and more masha shamata beferish, say it explicitly, meaning say the exact curse of God's name that you heard with the recitation of God's name. And so then the witness would say it, v'hu omer, and when he would say this, when he would say the curse of God's name, and when he would actually mention God's name, what would happen was the Dayanan would stand, the judges would stand on their feet, Dayanan omdin araglayan vikorin, and they would rip their garments, velo ma'achin, and they would never sew them up properly. They could sew them in a way that was not artful, but they could not sew it in the way that would cover up the fact that it was ever torn, which was called Tfira Alexandria, the Alexandrian sewing. We see from here, however, that the judges were supposed to stand when they heard the name of God and then tear their garments. And so the Gemara on Ardaf Yomi, Daf Samach, asks the question, what is our source of this? What is the source that the judges are supposed to stand when they hear the name of God and tear their garments? So explains the Gemara, Omdin Minon, what's our source? So ironically, the source for the fact that when we hear the name of God, we're required to stand up comes from the enemy of the Jewish people. That we're told about a story in the book of Judges. And in the book of Judges, chapter 3, verse 20, there's a story of Eglon, the king of Moab, who was enslaving the Jewish people, and the Jewish people were working very hard and being treated very unfairly by Ehud, by Eglon, the king of Moab. And so Ehud comes along, and Ehud leads a revolution. Ehud was Iter Yad Yamino. He was a person who had use of his left hand, and so he was able to sneak in to the palace of Eglon, and since everybody was expecting the sword to come from one hand, but he brought it from the other, he was able to attack Eglon, the king of Moab. And the reason why he was able to attack Eglon, the king of Moab, is because he convinced Eglon that he had a secret message for him from God. And it states in the verse, Ehud ba'elav, Ehud came to Eglon, v'hu yoshev ba'ali at hamekar, that Eglon was sitting in the upper chamber, which was by himself, Asher lo levado, that he was alone there. This was the upper chamber. And Ehud said, Devar Elokim li elecha. And so Ehud said to Eglon, I have a word of God for you. And Eglon got up from his throne. Vayaka me'alak, he said, he got up from his throne because he had a message from God. Of course he's going to rise up. And so we see from here that Eglon, the king of Moab, stood up when he heard the mention of the name of God. And so says our Talmud, Halo Devarim Kal V'Chomer, we can make an argument, a logical argument. If Eglon was the king of Moab, which was the arch enemy of the Jewish people, and he was not even Jewish, V'lo Yada Ela B'Kinoi, and all he heard from Ehud was not the actual name of God, but what is called a nickname for God. The word Elohim is not the actual name of God. It is just a proper way of referring to God without saying the actual name. And nevertheless, even though this is all that he heard, he stood up immediately. So too, how much more so, Yisrael, if a Jew hears the name of God, and he actually hears the name of God itself, and not just a kinoi, al-achas kama v'kama, how much more so must we say that we, the Jewish people, must stand up as soon as we hear the name of God? And so it's ironic that this passage is cited as the proof text, because in the end of the story, what happens is, after Eglon gets up and is completely disarmed because he's coming to hear the name of God, to hear the message, the story goes on to tell us that Ehud actually kills Eglon, and that was how he disarmed him and saved the Jewish people. Nonetheless, even though Eglon is killed in this fashion, and he had obviously done something worthy of death, however, the Gemara in Nazir and Sota tells us that because Eglon had some merit, he had a granddaughter, and the granddaughter via his son is named Ruth the Moabite, and we know that Ruth is the one who converts to the Jewish people and becomes ultimately the ancestor of David and Shlomo, of David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech. So therefore, Ruth is the ancestor of the Messiah. And so the Gemara tells us that Ruth was Eglon's granddaughter, and indeed the Midrash Tanchuma explicitly connects this to Eglon. So the Midrash in Parashat Vayechi 14:2 tells us that Ehud takes his sword, v'nosna al yerach yamino, when he put it on his right thigh, nichnas etzel Eglon, he enters to Eglon, and he says, Tevar Elokim li, and he says, I have the word of God for you. And Eglon gets up from his throne, and Hashem said the following, according to Midrash, ata chalakta li kavod, v'amadata mikisacha, you gave me honor, and you arose from your throne, on account of my honor, therefore I swear, Shani Mamid Mimcha Bat Sha'amad Mimena. I will arrange for you to have a daughter for whom everybody will rise up from her. Va'ani Mashivo Al Kisi, and I will place the descendant of your daughter on my throne. And that is a reference to the Messiah. So we see from here, because Eglon arose from the chair, from the throne, when he heard the name of God, he was worthy to have the Messiah descend from him. And this tells us that the necessity for Messiah coming to our world is when we all recognize the greatness of God's name and we give proper honor to Hashem Yisborach.